All right. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to see what God's doing today. As you know, Pastor Ken is sick, and he has the flu. So I found out about that at about 4:30 this morning. And I'm excited because I've been wanting to preach this because this has been on my heart, and I think it's really important. But let me start you off with an interesting story. How many of you guys like war stories? I think a lot of you do, but it's kind of one of those things. Is he going to call on me? I'm not going to call on you. In 1882, the British invaded Egypt. All right. Can I help you with something? I have a password on my computer, so you can't see the PowerPoint. So I haven't taught her how to hack yet, so I'll get to that later. But in 1882, there was a war. And England had gone into Egypt. So obviously, the Egyptians were not too happy. So they decided that they needed to strike a blow, a hard blow, against the British. So they saw there was a main force of Brits, and then there was this smaller force. So they sent some scouts out to see the smaller force. And as they got close, they were surprised. They saw a bunch of women in skirts. And they're like, okay, if the bigger army's up here, and then there's this camp of women here, why don't we attack their women? We can take them hostage, and maybe they would leave the country, or maybe if they refuse to, we will kill them. So the Egyptians, they thought they were really smart with their plan. And they decide to kidnap these women at night. So they go, and they attack this camp of women. However, when they got into this camp, these women were prepared, and they beat the stuffing out of them. And these Egyptians, they didn't know what to do, so they retreated. They didn't know what to do. They lost their purpose and said, we got to get out of here. The very next day, because this is 1882, the general, he got on a train, went to the capital of Egypt, and he surrendered. And he said, if your women fight like that, we don't want to face your men. Now, the funny thing is these were not women at all. They were the Gordon Highlanders who were wearing kilts. They saw a special force of British army men. They thought they were women because of their skirts. They attacked them, and these were kind of like the Green Berets, and they took them out. So they misidentified them and were attacked, and they lost the war. Now, I read that, and I thought that was kind of funny, but, you know, I think sometimes we miss what's important. We're kind of looking for what should I do in the church? What is my purpose in the church? And sometimes, like those Egyptians, we get these ideas and we have a bad view and we don't do what God wants us to do. So my challenge to you today is, what is your spiritual gift and how can you use your spiritual gift to build up the church? I'm going to read from Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 now. I've done this a few times before, and when I preach, a lot of times I use, obviously, New King James, just very good translation, very accurate. However, today I'm going to be using the New Century Version. This is one of those passages that we read so many times. We hear, and it's kind of just, we can almost kind of quote it in the back of our mind, and we skip over the meaning. So what I have here, and this is a pretty good translation of it, and I'm going to read this to you. And I want you to think, what is your job in the church? So this sermon is really for every single one of you. Let me go ahead and read this. We'll start in verse 11. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And Christ gave gifts to people, speaking of the church. He made some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to go and tell the good news, be witnesses, and some to have the work of caring for and teaching God's people. Christ gave those gifts to prepare God's holy people for the work of serving, to make the body of Christ stronger. Notice that, make the body of Christ stronger. This work must continue until we are all joined together in the same faith and the same knowledge of the Son of God. We must become like a mature person, growing until we become like Christ and have his perfections. Then we will no longer be babies. We will not be tossed about like a ship that the waves carry one way and then another. We will not be influenced by every new teaching we hear from people who are trying to fool us. They make plans and they try every kind of trick to fool people into following the wrong path. No, speaking the truth with love, we will grow up in every way into Christ, who is the head. The whole body depends on Christ, and all the parts of the body are joined together and held together. Each part, and this is kind of the main point here, each part does its own work to make the whole body grow and be strong with love. Think about that. Each part does its own work to make the whole body grow and be strong with love. Let's open a word of prayer, and then we can jump right into this. Father, I know I'm so honored to be here, Lord, and I just think, Lord, of all you want to say today. Lord, you have been putting this on my heart for a while, just to challenge the church, Lord, because you have called all of us here, Lord, for a purpose, and we must find that purpose and then do that purpose for your glory, Father. So, Lord, I pray as we listen to your word that your Holy Spirit will just burn with inside of us, Lord. If there's any sin in our hearts, please convict us so we can push it aside and listen to you, Lord. Please, Lord, help us just to stay focused and learn what you want us to learn from this passage. In your name we pray. Amen. I want to give you an illustration. Chip Ingram, many of you know him from our series, uses this illustration. And it makes a good point. Imagine you were in a country, now there's no country like this, so that's why I say imagine, where everybody drove their cars backwards. All right, no one drove forward. Everybody drove their cars backwards. You would get in your car. It would take you forever to get somewhere because you'd probably go about 10 miles per hour because cars are not made to go backwards, but so fast. So you're watching these people going backwards. You grow up in this town. Okay, everyone goes backwards. You go to get your driver's license. You go to the MVA, and maybe in this parallel universe, the people are actually nice there. And you go, you get your license, and they say, oh, you need to drive backwards. So you get in it, and you drive your car backwards. Now imagine if someone would then come to you and say, that's not the way you're supposed to drive the car. You're supposed to drive the car forward. What do you think your reaction would be? You would say they're the crazy one. You would say, I am so used to everyone driving a car backwards that that's just how it's done. That's how it's been, and that's how it's always going to be. Until you're challenged, and then you think about it, and you say, no, instead of going 10 miles an hour to work, I can actually get there pretty quick. You know, I can actually go the speed limit. However, I find it interesting that when it comes to church, a lot of times we drive the car backwards. We have this idea that it's the pastor's job just to do everything and to build the church himself. And one thing I've learned, I've heard this from godly men, is that pastors are not superheroes. Pastors are coaches. And I really thought about what that means. What does that mean? Pastors are not superheroes. See, the superhero pastor is the pastor who said, I'm going to be there, I'm going to meet with you then there, and I'm going to do every single ministry, and I'm going to do it myself, all right? Now, there's time and places for pastors to step in, but a lot of times we're driving the car backwards. We work too hard sometimes in the sense that we don't let people exercise their gifts for the glory of God. So I want you to think about this. What is your gift, and what is your ministry? What is your personal gift, and what is your ministry? When I think about that, some bad thoughts go out because people have this idea, okay, I need to go and evangelize and I'm scared to death because I don't want to go out in the corner, preach. That's not my gifting. And you know what? God gave us different gifts. Not all of us are evangelists. Some of us are scared to death to go out there and give people the gospel. Where some of you have to try to hold them back because as soon as service is done, they're going out there trying to preach to the world. Because that's their gift. And because it's their gift, they accomplish great things for God. Some of us are behind the scenes people. We like to do administrative stuff. We look, okay, here's a ministry. How will the logistics work? How can I do this? And based on our gifting that God has given us, we can help a ministry have success. Some of us have the gift of teaching. When we're talking, people are just understanding, and there's a connection with the Spirit. It's supernatural. Some of us have the gift of giving. We just kind of know where to give our money. We take it, give, and amazing things happen. But all of us have a gift. and we need to all exercise our gifts. So far, seems pretty simple. Look back at verses 11 and 12. And Christ gave gifts to people. He made some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to go and tell the good news, and some to have the work of caring for and teaching God's people. Christ gave those gifts, why? To prepare God's holy people for the work of serving, to make the body of Christ stronger. This is really interesting language, because if you look back at history, I love history. And when I look back, have you ever seen the picture of the Romans? When the Romans would come in after conquering a town, what they would have is they would have their prisoners behind them, they would have their army by them, and then they would have all their spoils with them. And as they would walk back into Rome, or wherever their town was, they would give gifts to the people. So you would, you know, get some real, a lot of animals, a lot of livestock. So you would see people on the street and say, here, this is from the king, this is a gift to you. And someone might get a cow worth a lot of money. Someone might get a sheep worth a lot of money. And everyone would give different gifts. The crazy thing is, when we become a Christian, God has given us all a special gift. And he wants us to exercise that gift. The problem is, we've grown up in a culture, in a world that says, drive the car backwards. Let the pastors do the work. You just applaud him, and he'll grow the church. He'll do everything. Where it looks like God's word saying here, prepare the people for the work of serving to make the body of Christ stronger. So as we help, as we train, as we teach, you will find your gifts, and through your gifts, you will build up the church. Think about it this way. Say you have the gift of administration, and you're like, God has put it on my heart to help junior hires. Now, if God put that on your heart, please tell me, because junior hires are some of the most difficult kids in the world. If you have them, you know what I mean. Imagine God says, "That I put this burden on your heart." But you're like, I'm an administrator. I can't teach. You know, I get up there, people don't know what I'm saying. I'm confusing. Pray about it. Ask God, God, please help me to do some type of ministry with junior hires. If God's put that burden on your heart, and it's more than just passion, because some of us get excited, but if that's really a burden that God has put on your heart, he is going to open up doors. You'll start meeting with your church members, and you might meet someone else who says, you know what, I have a burden for junior hires. You know, I'm not a teacher either, but I like to give, so maybe we could do something where I could go buy a bunch of snacks, and you can organize the event, and maybe we can get something going that way. So you go to your pastoral team, and you say, Pastor Kenny, we have this Bible study. Could you come and teach it? And I look at you and say, absolutely not. And you look at me like, why not? And I say, there's someone else in this church who has the gift of teaching, and they have a burden for junior high. And before you know, you have this team that is put together, all using different spiritual gifts. And that team goes to the junior hires, and before you know, many come to Christ. Amazing things are happening, because let's face it, junior hires are going to come because of the snacks, all right? But you got to administrate it well. And then as they're there and everything's going well, they're hearing the word taught, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit burns inside of them, convicts them because it's working through the teacher, and you have junior hires coming to Christ. But however, a lot of times we think, let's have the car the other way. We all say, you know what, there's some junior hires. Pastor, could you meet with all 700 of them? I know you can do it. And pastors get burned out. They don't have all the gifts. But the church and body does. I want you to think of this. Some of you, many of you, and this is biblical, are a holy priesthood. You are called by God. In a sense, all of you are ministers. Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever really thought of that? All of you are shepherds to a degree. You shepherd your families. You shepherd loved ones when it comes to advice. You shepherd those around you in love. You use the gifts God has given you. And see, my job as a pastor is to find those of you who are gifted, organize you, create teams, and then we go out and reach the lost, all using our spiritual gifts. So I want you to ask you this question. Really think deep about this. How have you used your gift in the year 2016? Think about yourself. I learned a while ago that if I'm going to be a pastor, I have to be honest with myself. I have to be truthful. How am I exercising my gifts? And I ask you the same thing. How are you exercising your gifts? I want to read you two verses, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. It says, "Do not hold back the work of the Holy Spirit." You know, sometimes we don't know what our spiritual gift is because of two reasons. We might not know what our spiritual gift is because we don't serve, because we're like, I'm not really sure where God wants to put me. And you don't really pray about it. You don't fast about it. You don't think about it. You don't go to the pastoral team. And you're just kind of saying, I hope something pops up and I'll find out my spiritual gift. That's not how it works. You seek God's will. What are you good at? How is God using you? You know, I always find it amazing. Usually people who work with numbers, they tend to be really good administrators and a lot of times have the gift of administration. Sometimes I find that teachers, they naturally can teach. God sometimes gives them the gift of teaching. And you see how this all starts to come together. However, some of us have sin in our lives. And if we have sin, we cannot figure out our spiritual gift and it is not effective. Some of us are just so ensnared by pleasures of this world, pride, lust, and we don't use our gifts because we want to do this other stuff. So God's like, how can I be communicating with you, working through you, if your temple is filled with sin? And we want to live in that sin. So one thing we have to do is say, are we holding back the work of the Holy Spirit? Second thing, if we are holding back the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us, we grieve it, we make it sad, and we need to do what David did when he came before the Lord and said, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. I guarantee you, if you come honest before God, you pray, you fast, you seek his will, you come to the pastoral staff, you will find out your spiritual gift. And you will use that gifts in ways we can never imagine. Looking back at our passage, before we read verse 13, I want to tell you what our church should look like. Currently, I'm praying that God will bring in 12 new families to Coleman Manor Bible Church. I really believe God can do it. He's all powerful. Why can't he do it? And I believe he can. So that's my prayer. But when I look at a church should be two things. It should be deep. People are growing. They're maturing. They're learning. They have a real hunger for God. All of a sudden, their marriages are changing. People are like, you know, you used to be like this, but since you came to the Lord, something's just different. Your acts are cleaned up. All of a sudden, you're not using that language. You're not thinking those things. You're not listening to those things. You're not watching those things. Not because you have rules set upon you, but because you love God. You know, that's something I always tell the teens. If you want to stay pure, don't stay pure just for the sake of staying pure. Stay pure because you love God. And there's a big difference. So you need to be deep. You need to be mature. You have to love God with all your heart, soul, and spirit. That's one way the church grows. The second way is the church is wide. We're reaching out. We're spreading the gospel. We're sharing it with others. Now let's get back to the text here. Ephesians 4:13. Ephesians 4:13. This work must continue until we are all joined together in the same faith and in the same knowledge of the Son of God. We must become a mature person, growing until we become like Christ and have his perfections. I don't know about you, but that's challenging. I'm a pastor, but that's challenging. You know, I think sometimes people think, oh, you're a pastor. You don't get angry. No one ever cuts you off in the road. Oh, you must have a... It's like, I sometimes think more stuff happens to us because Satan's just trying to see if we're going to mess up. But we have to grow. We have to mature. So I want to bring you to our first point. CMBC, Coleman Manor Bible Church, will grow when you sow. We will grow... When you sow, how do you sow? Using your spiritual gifts. You know, there's no secret to church growth. Think about this. Jesus had three key disciples, Peter, James, and John, three ones he worked with. Then he had 12 other disciples, all right? And they got really jealous of the three. So Jesus poured into the three. Then he poured into the 12. The 12 went, and they poured into the 70. The 70 then were trained, and they poured into the 120. And then the 120, using their gifts, poured into the masses, and many people became saved, and the church grew by leaps and bounds. So I want you to really think. CNBC will grow when you sow and use your gifts. I always kind of like when I play my guitar, because this is a nice guitar, and it stays in tune. All right. Have you ever heard a guitar that's out of tune? It's bad. I've done that before at church. Cold weather comes, and I, you know, didn't really tune up like I should have. I was a little lazy. And you're playing, and like, it's really bad. But you know, we are God's instrument. He gives us a spiritual gift, and we are his instrument. So let me just illustrate this really quick. Let me just grab something here. I'll be nice, Steve, and I won't untune your guitar. I'll do mine. We just sang the song, not the simple one. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. So it's a simple song. We're God's instrument. We have his spiritual gift in us. When we're pure, when we're doing what we should be doing, basically, we're like an instrument. So you know the song. It's simple. It's just some chords. All right. Josh does all the work. I just stand up here and just strum a little bit. But you get the point. We're God's instruments. We have his Holy Spirit. Now, when we don't use our gifts, when we're kind of flirting with sin, when we enjoy doing things we know is wrong and we don't confess it, it's kind of like you take your instrument and you just kind of turn the dials a little bit. You mess it up. It changes everything. And then you go to tell people about Christ, you go to use your spiritual gifts, and they can't get over the noise. They're looking at your life and saying, your life is so messed up. Why are you telling me about Christ? Or why would I want to partner with you? Now, Christ forgives their sin, but we need to step out. And now imagine if I... That's a bad, I'll tell you, that is bad. But, you know, a lot of Christians were a lot like that. We let sin get into our lives. The Holy Spirit is trying to work through us to grow the church. But we're so into our sin and we're so out of tune with God that we can't reach the lost. We can't use our giftedness because we're filled with sin. Let's look back at this text. And I want you to look at verse 14. Then we no longer will be babies. This is speaking of when we're using our gifts, we're growing, we're maturing. Then we will no longer be babies. We will not be tossed around like a ship that the waves carry one way and then another. We will not be influenced by every new teaching we hear from people who are trying to fool us. They make plans and try any kind of trick to fool people into following the wrong path. You see, as you grow, as you use your gifts, you will mature. As you mature, Satan's going to try to untune you. He's going to try to mess up your testimony. He's going to try to mess you up so bad so that you will not be able to use your spiritual gift to build the church of Christ. When he has success, you have to do a tune-up. You have to go to God, say, God, please forgive me for my sin. If you hurt anybody, go to that person and apologize. Something I really admire is when people, sometimes I'll get calls from people, and they'll say, you know what, Kenny? And this is hard to do, but they'll call up and say, you know what, Kenny? I was talking with some of my friends, and we brought up your name, and we were joking around, but I kind of said some things that, you know, was putting you down, picking on you. I know you weren't there, but that's slander. Please forgive me. I don't want to do it again. I'm sorry. The people who make calls like that have integrity, they have an openness, and God's going to use them and their spiritual gifts. Let's look back at this. There will no longer be babies. We will not be tossed around like a ship. As Satan's trying to push you out of tune, you need to spend more and more time studying. You need to spend more and more time in the Scripture. Could you answer these questions? Let's just see. How well do you know your Bible? Why is there evil and why is there suffering? If a coworker came up to you and said, why is there evil and suffering? Could you give a biblical answer to that? Or how about, if God is love, why do people go to hell? That's a common one. People say that a lot. Could you, because you're maturing, you're using your gifts, you're growing, because of your Bible study time, could you answer that question? Or how about, how do you know God exists or is real in your life? How do we know he's just not some imaginary thing that you created? How can you prove that biblically? Or how about if someone comes up to you, maybe they're smart and they're looking for answers, but say, where did the information in the Bible come from? Where did it come from? Or maybe they come and say, what is a born-again Christian? What does the term born-again mean? Could you answer those questions? And now the point isn't that we should be some Bible-walking machine, but the point is that as we grow, we have a natural yearning for God. We have a love of God. We use our gifts, and as we grow, we study. As we study, we start having more and more answers. One of the biggest lies Satan gives us is that you're not ready to use your spiritual gift until you're at this level. You have to know all 66 books of the Bible. You need to say when they were written. You need to explain how they were written. You need to read Greek. You need to read Hebrew. Once you do all those things, then you'll be qualified to use your spiritual gift. And it's funny, I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. I see if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, that is the start. You will seek God, you will use your gifts, and then you will grow over time. Now, I want you to think about that. Think about this, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. Most of you guys could quote this verse, so I got another translation. I wrote this one down here. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for showing people what is wrong in their lives, for correcting faults, and for teaching how to live right. Using the Scriptures, the person who serves God will be capable, having all that is needed to do every good work. So now start putting that together in your mind. Start thinking, God has given me a spiritual gift when I was a Christian. As I desire God, as I seek him, I will start to understand what that spiritual gift is. As this process goes on and I start exercising my spiritual gift, the church starts to grow, I start to grow deeper, and I start to learn what I should do as a Christian. It's all a process. God is calling you to use your gifts. So this is what I want you to think about. Point one, CMBC will grow when you use your spiritual gifts to sow. Point two, and I put this in basically three words with a little definition by it. Sow, which means use your gift. Know, good doctrine to grow God's church. So I want you to remember that this week. Sow, know, to grow. You sow by using your gifts. You know good doctrine because you study. You come to Bible study. You know, we're a very blessed church. I don't know. I've been to a lot of Bible studies in my life. And I really wish I could attend Tuesday night, but I'm downstairs teaching the kids. But when schools are called off and I get to go upstairs, I learn so much in that Tuesday night Bible study. It's amazing. I want to challenge you, if you really love God, if you really want to get to know him deeper, take the time, go to that study. Because if you want to grow, you got to know the Lord. You really have to understand who he is. Let's jump down to verse 15 as we get closer to wrapping this up. Verse 15. No, speaking the truth with love, we will grow up in every way into Christ, who is the head. The whole body depends on Christ, and all the parts of the body are joined together and held together. Each part does its own work to make the whole body grow and to be strong with love. So I really want you to start in your mind tying this all together. I want you to think of that opening illustration. People had their focus wrong. They thought they saw something. They didn't really have the right purpose. They had bad information, and they made a fool's mistake. It's the same as the person who drives the car backwards. They're making mistakes. They think, oh, we've done it this way forever. Let's just continue doing it that way. Where God is really calling out to us to use our gifts in ways we cannot imagine. All of us have a spiritual gift. Some of us are very gifted. God has given some of us just a single gift. But if we use that gift for God's glory, what else could we do? I mean, that is awesome. So I want you to think of this. This week as you're going out, I want you to pray. God, what should I do with the church? What is my spiritual gift? Some of you already know, but some of you are searching. What is my spiritual gift? Find out what your spiritual gift is. And it's not going to come in a dream. If it does, you probably ate too much the night before. It's not just going to pop up. You're going to get it from praying. You're going to get it from fasting. You're going to get it from coming to church. And pastor will say, you know what? I notice you have this gift here. You do this really well. And all of a sudden, your eyes are going to be open and you're going to realize what your spiritual gift is. Then God's going to put a burden on your heart. God's going to say, I want you to do this. And it might be something you never imagined yourself doing. It might be something. It might be, you know, go out to the homeless shelters and help those people. But if God puts that on your heart and you pray about it and you know it, you're going to do something special. Or maybe God's going to say something simple. Hey, I want you to take this amount of money and I want you to give it to, you know, this organization or this missionary. And then that will be used and that missionary goes out and leads hundreds to Christ. And your spiritual gift was exercised. Maybe it's a gift of administration. You're sitting on the sideline saying, I don't know what to do. I know I have this gift. You start praying. The pastoral staff starts praying. And before you know, God opens up a door we never saw because you exercised your gift. So the sermon is, it's simple. It's we are a body. We are a whole unit. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're a team. It's not my goal to go, and I cannot shepherd every one of you, but I can make sure that each and every one of you are shepherded by setting up teams, working together, praying for you. So my prayer is that as you walk out today, you're going to think, how can you sow? What is your gift that God has given you? Also, how much do you know? Are you seeking God? And if you do, the church is going to grow. It's really, really that simple. So I want to just leave you with that thought. How are you going to sow? What do you know? And if you do those two things, you sow and you start to know, I guarantee you this church here is going to grow.
Thank you.